fourth Sunday of Advent, we are going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 38 through 55. We pray that the Lord will lead us in this text, because this morning has been a morning of chasing everything around. So anyways, if we are willing and if we are able to rise to the reading of the Gospel text, I would ask that we would do that. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 39, reading in Jesus' name. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength in his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Amen. Please be seated. Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask, Father, that the flesh would melt away, that the pride of men would fail, and, Father, that you would be glorified in and through your word. We ask that you would sanctify us in the word, because we know your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very awesome part of Scripture that sometimes I think we have a tendency to overlook. It focuses on more or less a different group here. These aren't big religious leaders. They aren't, as far as this goes, they're not male. These are women that actually testify and glorify and actually speak very highly of God, and it's recorded in the Scripture. And sometimes within tradition, we've had a tendency to knock women down. But Mary is a great example of how God uses all individuals. And she gives a great testimony here that is extremely powerful. It is probably one of the most powerful sermons, if you could say, preached in the gospel, aside from Christ himself. And so, really, we come to the understanding. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they are told in their late years that they're going to have a son, and they will call their son John. And he is the forerunner. And he will go before Christ, turning the people's hearts back to God. He was going to be one of the last great prophets, a very powerful, powerful individual. And so this was a great honor for them. But then we know, if we read the beginning part of this chapter, we know that the angel Gabriel then goes to Mary herself and speaks that she will be with child. And Mary comes across in this way saying, well, how can this be because I'm still a virgin? And we understand what that means. She hasn't been with a man. So now, she wasn't doubting what was being said. Kind of like Zacharias, more or less, is like, how can this be? She's saying, how can it be because I've never been with anybody? We understand the physical aspect of this. We understand as a human being, well, something has to be done. So she wasn't doubting the word of God. She wasn't doubting Gabriel and the fact that this would take place. But she was trying to figure out, what's the means of this? God will take care of this. God will perform this. And God will have his will. And so then he tells her, he says, and also your relative, Elizabeth, she is with child in her later years, which is quite exciting. And so then we pick up very much here in this point that Mary now hears this news and she goes right away to Elizabeth. Now Elizabeth wasn't sharing this with people. And so it's very interesting how God spoke and operated, if we could say, behind the scenes. And so she had this information. She heads over to Judea to go see Elizabeth. She enters into the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and she greets her, brings salutations. We might walk into someone's house and say, God's peace. Whatever it may be. Hello, how you doing? Good to see you. But she greets her. And just the words from her mouth bring about a very powerful time. And so, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, it says that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. God was operating. God was functioning, and He was working. And this is, I think, something that we can testify to. If we turn around in our lives and we turn around and we talk to different individuals, we can actually say, and I know we can say this, because I can say it, that when I spoke with a certain individual, that there was a testimony, that there was our spirits connected. There is this power of God that is found present there, that is foreign to the human being, that is outside of our will and our own ways. God is functioning. He is operating. And our God is still upon His throne. And He still functions and He still operates, even in the chaos of this world. This is something that really brings about the excitement of the Christmas season. See, I think we need the Christmas season. I think we need to celebrate Christmas. Because we need to remind ourselves about God functioning and operating still in this world. That oftentimes we spend, say, 351 days a year looking at other stuff. You know, one day a year we can turn around and actually say, wow, we are celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior. We are celebrating the gift to the world. Now, granted, we should celebrate this every day. But we should at least celebrate it one day a week for 52 weeks or whatever it is, right? But the fact of it is at least we take one day to go all the way back, as we could say, in history to remember what God has done for us. See, God is still operating. It is proven here very strongly within this text. Mary is given instruction. She's given the news that Elizabeth is going to bear a child. This is exciting. She rejoices for her. And she goes running to her house. We understand that also. If one of us was expecting a child, or one of our children or our grandchildren, we'd be quite excited to go and talk to them and say, congratulations, this is wonderful. Because we understand the gift of life. We understand what God has blessed us with. And now this is a miracle. And so she goes running over there, and as soon as she starts speaking, there's that testimony. There's a testimony of the Spirit found even within. And so Elizabeth starts to really explain this to her. And when Elizabeth now hears this, she says in a loud cry, she's actually celebrating this. She says, blessed are you among women. This is Spirit-led. I don't think that Mary walked in and said, hey, Elizabeth, I know you're having a baby, so am I. This is Spirit-led. And I think we're given very personal insights here of how God operates and how He deals with things. And we see the positive side of what God does. And so she turns around and she says very straightforward, blessed are you among women. Do we still believe that in this day and age? That Mary, the mother of our Lord, is highly favored. That she is blessed. See, we've gotten carried away because we've seen other people get carried away with actually turning around and saying, and I don't want to put a blanket statement on, but it seems at least, of worshiping. But it doesn't take away from the blessedness that God has shown forth to Mary. It doesn't take away from the fact that she is the the mother of our Lord, that God has chosen her. We get all hot and bothered over Paul, don't we? Apostle Paul was amazing. Oh, we get fired up. He used to be Saul, you know what? And then he became Paul, and he was a powerful testimony for God. I love Paul. I think he's awesome. What about Mary? Are we so afraid of other people abusing the position of Mary that we actually throw the baby out with the bathwater? Shame on us if we do. Luther himself would roll over in his grave if he thought that we had no respect for the position of the mother of the Lord. And so when he turns around, really Elizabeth says something very, very true. Highly favored are you. That's what blessed means. You're highly favored. She says, highly favored are you, or blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. That child is highly favored. That is a beautiful, beautiful child that is going to be the redemption of this world. That is the redemption of the world, but the payment yet not paid, but promised. She sees the importance and the magnitude. I wish we could even have a slight bit of this favoritism towards individuals in this world, to see actually how precious life is. To see how precious unborn children are. That's not a political statement, it's the truth. We turn around in a day and age where oftentimes we don't regard that. And we turn around and we often say, but it's a decision that we can make because we're in charge of it. Well, did you create it? You might have went through the action, but did you give life? There is a responsibility to this. You know, even as a side note, you know, my father made a statement to me once and I thought, wow, it's an interesting statement. But it's actually kind of a true one. He says, oftentimes we sit around and we pray, Lord, Lord, send us the cure for cancer. How do we know he hasn't? And we got rid of it. It's a very sensitive subject, but to turn around and understand the sanctity of life, the beauty of life. Now, all circumstances aren't rosy, I'll give you that. All the way that the children are conceived in this day and age is probably not the most poetic and wonderful way, but it doesn't take away from the value of the child. So I go on that saying, if we can at least come to the point of understanding the true value of life, and then we are now magnified here looking at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we hear the praise and the honor and the glory that is given by Elizabeth for this Christ child. It is a powerful, powerful time. And she says, and now she comes even to this point. What brings this honor to me? Do you see how this is? Mary is the younger one, the younger relative. Elizabeth is the elder. And she switches roles here. And she actually turns around because of understanding the gift that has been given to Mary. Though it will be a trial. So sometimes we forget that it's a trial. But the reality of it is, she comes to this point and she says, you know, and why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to my house? She is honored that Mary would even come into the presence. Can you imagine being in the presence of the Christ child? Are we honored even when we have the life that comes into our lives? In other words, not only with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but are we honored even in all those that come around us, those that we entreat and encourage, those that may come to just visit? Do we really enjoy the fellowship? Now, I know that can be taken off kilter, and I know it's heading in a different direction, but oftentimes we are living in such a fast-paced world, such a busy world, that we lose sight of what is important. We turn around and we look at individuals, and we believe that in Jesus Christ we are all conformed to His image. We believe that we are all the children of God. Do we see the honor that we have amongst each other, even when we visit, when we encourage? Now, very powerfully here, Elizabeth being led by the Holy Spirit. Mary didn't say anything about herself being with child. This is a point of the Spirit speaking very boldly to Elizabeth and also to Mary and even to the young child. She says, what in reality has given me the honor that you should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. John knew. Now remember, we can call him John because the angel Gabriel said that you will conceive a son and his name will be John. John knew. He knew his brethren. He knew his Lord. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit working. And we have that same ability through the power of the Holy Spirit, not only to know our God and to know our Creator, but to know one another and to be encouraged by one another. That is the beauty of the Christmas season, that we would have this ability. When do we often see people do kind acts? I mean, I know that we do them all year long. I hope we do. But is there not, is it fair to say that there's more kind acts done around Christmas season than any other? Even tightwads like me have a tendency to tip double. Just because it's the season. To understand how blessed we are. To be encouraged by the gift of God. Be encouraged by the love of Christ in our life. That we can go out into a world and show it. Allow the power of the Holy Spirit just to move and to operate in our lives. God is alive. He is powerful and He is mighty. We do not worship a historical Christ who is dead and gone. We worship in reality a living God who has made redemption for each and every one of us through His Son. This is the Christmas season. We have been given such a beautiful gift that we can't even imagine it in our earthly minds, can we? But yet we're given a slight insight here of the excitement and the power that is proclaimed by Elizabeth. With Mary just walking in the door, there is a celebration. Not only for Elizabeth, but there is a celebration even for a child that we say at times in the human race that can't make any decisions. Some individuals would say that the child doesn't have faith. Really. Take a child, even a young baby, and take it away from its mother and give it to a stranger and tell me what it feels. Insecurity. Struggle. Oh, we might be able to appease him. Even my wife can appease him for 10 minutes. I shouldn't say even my wife, but my wife is good at it. But the fact of it is, put the baby in my arms and that thing will start crying in 10 minutes because it feels my insecurity. I don't know what to do. A child knows. And a child trusts. A child trusts its mother. Even its father. And see, this gives us insight. And even John in the womb leaps with joy in the presence of his Lord. There is value. There is faith. And there is strength. Because God has given it. And so when she turns around and she says, this takes place. And then she turns around and makes another statement Elizabeth does that I think is very, very powerful in verse 45. She continues on by saying, and blessed is she who believe that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. See, she even, Elizabeth, gives confirmation that Mary believed. She was questioning the fact of how is this going to take place. But the fact of it is she believed. Do we have that faith? And do we live in that faith? And it is extremely, extremely important for us. Because if we do not believe even what is spoken to us, then how do we live? How would we face tomorrow? If we can't believe, if we can't have the encouragement that God before us, then how in the world would I ever get up tomorrow morning? I'll tell you the honest truth. This morning was not a banner morning, and it's mostly my own fault. I should say all my fault, right? But the fact of it is, I want to blame somebody. But the fact of it is, my wife's trying to encourage me before I get up here, and I even saw an individual out in the narthex. He's, how are you doing today? I said, oh man, I'm not too good, and I got to act happy in the pulpit. But how would you ever get up here? If you didn't believe and trust that God will provide, that God will give, Well, it's no different. I'm not any more special than you. How would you ever get up and face tomorrow if that faith was not there, that you felt encouraged, that no matter what this world throws at you, no matter the circumstances you're going through, no matter who may be trying to rob you, that God has it and that He'll get you through it. When Mary was told this by the angel Gabriel, she believed. And Elizabeth says, highly favored in you for believing. Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness, was it not? It was. We believe and we trust and we are given that righteousness, that imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, that we may be able to endure through the fire, through the trials, through whatever may be coming our way. This is the Christmas season. To know no matter what happens, God has it. Before we ask the question, God has an answer. That is our God. We never asked. There wasn't anybody that was by the cross scene that said, please take him down. He's innocent. Nobody asked. A lot of people ridiculed. A lot of people made fun. But God still gave. And He still encourages. And He still pours out His mercy from His mercy seat. And He still encourages us each and every day. Look to me. Look to me. Mary asked Gabriel, how will this be? How can it happen? And he says, the Holy Spirit will take care of this. God will come over you. And this will be done. He brought in the God card. And she believed. Highly favored is the individual or you that believes. And who has believed what the Lord has spoken. And we are very blessed when we believe. When we believe even the simple gospel, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth. And very straightforward, she says, Mary comes off hearing Elizabeth proclaiming, and Mary now starts in with her Magnificat. A beautiful, really more or less a sonnet. My soul magnifies the Lord. She talks about the deepness here, that her soul magnifies, brightens, brings forth, shows forth the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in what? God, my Savior. God, my Savior. Even this Christ child that's within her. Do you understand and know? Yes, we highly favor. Yes, we honor Mary in the position. But she needs the blood of Christ just as much as anybody else. It is God, her Savior. This is even an Old Testament statement that she brings forth. What I think is really interesting. This is a woman found in this time that is quoting even from the Old Testament. To understand and know that they were around the Word. They heard the Word. They dealt with the Word. And Mary received this Word. Or she quotes it even. You find this in the Psalms quite often. And so she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. She had nothing in herself to offer. It wasn't her own works that had done this. It wasn't her purification of herself. God chose. God chose. Why is that important for us to understand? Because God chose you. He chose me. It wasn't that Jesse went running to the cross and said, take him down, I'll take the place. It wasn't that my works were so great. It wasn't that my attitude was so good before I got up here to preach. It wasn't any of that. God chose. And He chose us. And not only did He choose us, He understood the depravity of ourselves. And He gave, in reality, a balm for that. He gave His Son, His only begotten Son, that His blood would be the sacrifice for my sinfulness, for your sinfulness, and for the sinfulness of the world. God just doesn't choose like He's picking a pizza at Pizza Hut. God chose us, and He redeemed us. He bought us back, each and every one of us, by the blood of His Son, this Christ. And I know I often repeat that, and I know it's often a difficult thing to consider because we get very romantic about the Christ child in the manger scene. But 33 years later, we'll be crying for his blood. The human race will want nothing to do with him. It's interesting. And yet he still willingly did it. He was anointed for the purpose. And he understood what the anointing meant. It meant his death. But yet he willingly went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you are that joy. I am that joy. And the rest of them out there are the joy. But do they know it? And do we share that joy so that they may know it? He's looked at the humble estate, for behold, now all generations will call me blessed, and it's very true, highly favored, and she is. For he who is mighty has done great things in me, and holy is his name, hallowed is his name. He will be worshipped forever and ever. This is a wonderful thing. She's praising her God. Sometimes we turn around and we look at people a little cross-eyed if they praise their God too much. But really, Mary, she goes in for all, both feet. She's right in there, praising her Lord. And she says, and he has shown forth the strength of his arm, and he scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. And this is really interesting. I think this encompasses not only Jesus himself, but I think it also brings in now this praise also for John. And you might say, what do you mean by that? And I'm not saying I'm right. You can take this with a grain of salt. But remember, what was John? John is a forerunner to Christ to level the playing field. He was to bring repentance back to the people. And see, this is the whole thing. I shouldn't even say these individuals, but John and Christ, in reality, bring the people back to God. And there was in this time the very proud and the elite and the very highly religious that believed they were in because they were of the right bloodline. They were of every right thing. They observed the correct things. And really what he says here, she says here, Mary says, he has shown his strength in his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's leveled this playing field. It's no longer by your position. It's no longer by whose boy you are. It's not because you're some great Pharisee or Sanhedrin. It's not because you're a scribe. It is by Christ and him alone. This child will remove all the boundaries. And that's exactly what was spoken of John. That he would make, in reality, the low places high and the high places low. That he would level the playing field, that all would have access. And this is the proclamation. And I believe very, very strongly that even this ministry needs to continue. Because too many times in our life, and I'm not saying that we have to go back to John's baptism and all that other stuff, but what I'm saying is too many times, even in this life nowadays, people consider the elite in the church to be closer to God. And that's foolishness. There might be people that spend more time in communion with God. That would be true. And that's also a decision we can make, to spend more time with the Lord, spend more time in study, spend more time in His way. But the fact of it is, all have access through Jesus Christ. And we need to proclaim and to encourage, not in the elitism of the church, not in segregating, whatever that is, but segregating. We need to be inclusive. The church needs to be inclusive in bringing people in. And so she says that he will now knock down the proud and scatter their thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the mighty from the thrones and exalted them, those in humble places. And you see this opposite position now? It's no longer about position. It's no longer about being the great proud or the humble. God levels. It's no longer by what we can do. Do we still have that tendency? I think we do as human beings. I think one of the things that you can notice, especially if you look throughout the Federation, quite often is some powerful individual that has done well in life wants a position on a board within our Federation. Okay. Because it's just a popularity thing at times. And maybe I'm wrong in this, and forgive me, but I don't think I am. We often esteem those that seem to be doing financially well. And we often look down on those that aren't. Scripture does talk about that somewhere. It talks about if you see someone come and wearing gaily clothing, real nice clothes, and you say, hey, come on in and sit right here in front and most so I can see you. But yet you tell the one that looks like a pauper to sit over here. Aren't you showing partiality? We have a tendency left to our own devices. But really what Mary says is there's no more of that. There's no more of that. We are equal. And this Christ child will make all people in reality equal. And so then, now he's also, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away. Those that have a desire, those that have a need, he provides, and those that are self-righteous, those that are standing on their own, they go away empty-handed because those individuals have no need. And he turns around and she comes to the very straight point. It's hard saying she, see, because it's not very often that you preach about a woman, is it? You always want to say he. So forgive me for that, eh? But the fact of it is, it's interesting. So then, she turns around, she says, he has helped his servant Israel and remembered his mercy, always preserving, always giving that mercy, as he has spoken to our fathers, and what? Abraham and his offspring forever and ever. The things of old that were spoken are shown and brought forth to reality in Christ. That this is the kingdom that will be forever and ever. And that we are the children of Abraham. We are the children of faith. And that's the strongest thing we can remember in this Christmas season. Of who we are. We are not just religious people. We are not those that do everything right. We are not those that turn around and tell to the world, we got it right and you got it wrong. We are the children of faith, living in the finished work of Jesus Christ, redeemed by His blood, given an imputed righteousness, and sent into the world to love and to encourage and to bring the same message. If there was ever a time that this world needed this message, it is now. There are people that are so confused on who they are or where they fit in. Because the reality of it is that they turn around and they try to get their identity from the world instead of knowing their identity Christ. We are the children of God, sent forth to proclaim the love, the restoration, and the redemption. Our sin debt has been paid, and we are of all people most blessed. May we enter out in this Christmas season and share that payment, the news of that payment, with other people, that they may have that same faith. For Jesus' name's sake.